not quite one-fourth, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keen,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life.
Welcome back, everyone. We'd like to welcome you back. We'd like to introduce you to retired Colonel of the Air Force, Marty Zickert. And Marty, thank you for coming on to the podcast.
Love to. I can talk forever.
Good. we're going to test that theory in a minute. But before we get into your story and all the good stuff that you bring to our local community, we'd like to run you through the gorilla gauntlet.
Sure.
All right, Marty. Are you married or single?
I am widowed.
Okay. Any children?
I have two. I had a total of three. And then when I got remarried, I had got four more that came along with that.
Okay.
But they were all grown and gone, except one.
Okay.
So It's hard to say, yes, I do. I have one son that lives here in town.
Okay.
He's the investment advisor for PNC Bank. So
all right.
He's the one that the other ones, one was a Marine Corps and a 20-year Marine. So we've had a pretty good group.
Okay. What city do you live in?
What city?
Yeah.
Vero Beach for 20 years.
It's a beautiful city.
20 years.
Yeah, wouldn't leave it.
Where were you before that?
Everywhere.
Military.
Air Force. Okay. Yeah. Every 2 years you would go somewhere.
Were you ever in Alaska?
TDY. I was never permanently stationed there.
So I have a friend of mine that was in Alaska, and he was there for 4 years. In Alaska, and he came back, and his email address is sweatinfl, because he's always hot to this day. like it'll get to the 30s and he'll walk around in shorts and t-shirt. And I remember him when he first came in. It was the first winter. It was like 30 degrees and he was sweating.
Yeah,
I was like, good lord, dude.
He got used to that Alaska. And came back to Florida.
Yeah, he came back with leather as skin, you know. Anyways,
now were you ever stationed at Patrick?
No, that was Patrick is kind of a non-flying base.
Okay.
They've got C-130s there, but they're rescue 130s themselves.
I've heard it's like the resort base.
Yeah.
From a couple of friends that are in, like, that have tried getting to Patrick, they're like, it's very hard to get there. Like,
It is. Well, it's people just tend to stay there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get a house on the beach.
Yeah.
Like, I can't afford a house on the beach.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's how I ended up here was when we, when I got remarried, we said, well, after I retire, we'll live 3 years around my kids. And they were in Houston, then 3 years around her kids. And then we finally, she was in Pensacola. And we, after 3 years there, we said, where do we want to go? And we had been to Patrick.
Okay.
And they had housing, officer housing on the base building. And we'd been there 3 or 4 days and said, what a cool place. I got palm trees and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I got a job in Melbourne and we moved to Sebastian. And my wife got to work with Georgie Warren and best company in Vero Beach by far.
What do they do?
They do oil and gas trading.
Okay. Hmm. Almost. I had no idea. Yeah. We had an oil.
I didn't either. I'm kind of so intrigued.
If you will look at the events that are coming up, charitable events, you're going to see Georgie Warren is one of the top gold sponsors type of stuff. They just
that's awesome.
They have it is. He Tom Core has just got a heart for everybody. He's helped us out, and I'll tell you about that one later.
Okay.
So before you go to the next one, we talked about places you've lived. Where is your favorite place that you were stationed?
Germany.
Berlin?
Spangallen, the other side of Germany.
Okay.
All the way over by Luxembourg. It's was a small fighter base, if you consider 72 F-4s, small base. It was us, then Bitburg had the F-15s, and Hahn had F-16s.
My dad was in the Army. He was stationed in Berlin when I was a baby. I would live there for like 3 years, but I don't remember any of it. But
yeah,
that's awesome.
I'd been there, but Germany, the first time I was there, the wall was still up. Okay. And the Autobahn. Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You could run however fast you thought you could run, and yes, there was somebody faster.
Yeah.
Always.
So Marty, sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Just enough to be dangerous.
Okay. By the way, I heard that on Madagascar, so
that's all you got. Yeah. That's all you got.
Yeah.
He that's blew awesome. It all right there.
That's it.
He gave it all to you. Right on.
Hey, just in case if somebody comes up and they're like, sprechen Sie Deutsch?
And you're like, no. I can answer that question. That's it.
All right. What kind of cell phone? iPhone or Android?
Android.
Okay. Have you always been Android? Or you ever tried an iPhone?
No, I had an iPhone for a long time and never really figured it out.
Oh, wow. Okay. Most people don't switch once they're on one side.
It was okay, and I don't even remember how I got into Android. It had to have been a good deal.
Okay.
Yes. I can get on board in that.
Yeah. So now you're speaking Keen's language.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good deals.
Yeah. I'm big into good deals.
Okay. All right. Favorite movie or book?
Oh, favorite movie is Airplane.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Right. Yes. I love this.
There is nothing better than Airplane especially when you're flying. My whole family, except for my ex-wife, who never did understand Airplane, my kids, we would get on an airplane, and we would start with the fasten the seatbelt sign and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those where you went, this is so humorous. And
yes.
And you had to watch the movie 3 or 4 times to catch everything that was going on.
Yeah.
I think my favorite dance scene is the Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah. That was good.
It's gold.
Yeah.
It's gold. Yeah. I love that scene. I don't know why, but when she starts twirling him around, that cracks me up every time. Sorry. All right.
That is just one of those. That's a no-brainer for me.
That's all awesome. Right. Okay.
Favorite genre of music?
Country.
Country? Like old country, new country, everything?
Everything. I started country with Garth Brooks.
Okay.
And I was...
That's Larry's one exception to country.
Yeah, I'm not a country fan. However, Garth Brooks is the exception. Like,
but he doesn't count Cash as country.
Yeah.
No.
Well, he is so talented. I saw him in person in Houston at the rodeo, and the guy's amazing. I started listening to country. You know, I'm a 50s guy primarily. Uh-huh. That's the era I grew up in, when you could still understand the words.
Okay.
And that's what I like about country, is they always have a story, and you can always understand the words. And everything after that, when I was raising kids, I just went, what is that?
Well, that's the one thing I'll say, and I can see why most folks will gravitate towards country, is because all the other stuff, minus rock, is getting fairly inappropriate.
Yeah.
So.
It's ones that you kind of go, really?
This is
what you're listening to?
And, yeah, I could see that.
And I got started with Garth Brooks. Primarily, I was at Edwards in California, which is in the middle of the Mojave Desert, and we only got one radio station.
And there it began. There you go.
And I was recovering from an angioplasty, and they made me walk for an hour every night. And so I walked the golf course every night, and Garth was the only thing that you heard all the time. And he was just getting cranked up, and I went, this guy is pretty good.
Next thing you know, you're blaming it on your roots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right? Absolutely. Now, the modern country, I was never a Willie Nelson fan or any of that. I listened to country growing up. Because, again, I grew up in central Wisconsin, and there was one station out of Tennessee that you could hear at night.
And there you go.
And so you got George Jones and all the Loretta Lynn and all those things.
Conway Twitty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, don't start trying to name drop stuff like that. You know what you're talking about.
Hello, darling. Nice to meet you.
This guy's just throwing any name you can think of.
It's been a long time.
Oh, please stop. Yeah. I think we just lost listeners right there in 10 seconds. We lost listeners, Marty.
All right. All right, sorry.
Please come back. All right. for restaurants, reservation or just walk in?
I prefer to walk in, but this time of year, as you know, you gotta, if you're going to any kind of a real restaurant, other than my favorites are all down 14th Avenue. I don't go over the bridge very often.
Do you like Southern Social?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious as to what's going to happen now.
Yeah, I know. Did they sell finally?
Yeah, they sold. Did. Yeah.
I knew they were up for sale.
1st of February was the official. Now, they still own Filthy's.
Okay.
But the Southern Social is under new management, and
yeah,
I haven't been in
since. Just ate at, for our Christmas sweater party,
Post and Vine.
Post and Vine.
Yeah.
And it was really good. Yeah, yeah, it was really good.
Their burger is fantastic.
Yeah. Going into that, favorite type of food?
It's just comfort food more than anything else. You know, my I married twice. Both girls were from the South.
Okay.
It was fried chicken.
Yes.
All right.
Mashed potatoes and gravy.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
Black eyed peas.
That kind of stuff. Okay. And some mustard. And ribs and shrimp. And
Marty, have you had Chick-fil-A versus Popeye's sandwich?
Yeah, but it all depends where I'm at.
Okay.
You know, Chick-fil-A is really good. It's always had a decent one.
Yeah.
And, Popeye's is, kind of off and on for me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know what? That's a good point.
A fair statement.
Yeah.
And I think even when we did the comparison, that's what, you know, Chick-fil-A is always consistent.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't generally matter where I go.
Popeye's is better on a Sunday.
Yeah. Yes,
because Chick-fil-A is closed.
They have the spicy kind of stuff. Yes. The best one in town here is Maryland Fried Chicken.
Yeah,
I do like Maryland though. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
What type of vehicle do you drive?
I drive two different ones. I have one I drove over here tonight, a 2015 Dodge Ram.
Okay.
And I have a 2014 Corvette.
Oh, okay. That's right up my alley right there.
Yeah, I don't own bright, one. Bright red. Arrest me red.
Arrest me red.
I want that new 2021 like I could taste it.
Yeah, I'd never want the first edition.
Yeah, I know. I'd rather have a manual gate anyway, so I'm hoping maybe by the time I can afford one, they'll have a manual gate.
Yeah, I went to when I went to Vietnam in 73, I ordered a new Corvette to be picked up in 74.
Okay.
Because it was 1 year.
So that was a Stingray, right?
I got, the war ended. I got assigned to the Philippines. Next thing I knew, I couldn't take the Corvette to the Philippines.
Yeah.
And I had it for 2 weeks and took it to my ex-wife, said, sell it. I'll get one when I come back. 40 years later.
Okay.
I got my Corvette back.
Okay. I appreciate that, though. You never let that go.
No.
Yeah.
No, okay. I've now had three bright red Corvettes.
I haven't had one yet. I've always wanted one. I've been on my way to the dealership with the deal done and called the salesman and been like, it's not the right time.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that just, I've owned a lot of vehicles over my lifetime. I probably have 14 in this yard right now.
Yeah.
And that's not an exaggeration.
No, it's not.
These guys know it's how crazy about now, vehicles I am.
Most of them I have to push, but
yeah.
I mean, like don't worry about that. Three, some are like 3 = 1.
Yeah, maybe. But the Corvette, there is a Corvette out back. It's just a body though, or just a frame. Because
I've got a friend of mine that's doing that same type of thing.
Yeah.
Just kind of a frame, and he said, "When are you going to blow your engine?" this one I've got has got a blower on it, and it's way more than I need.
Oh wow, on the 14?
Oh yeah,
very nice. Is it a Z06 or just a standard with a blower on it?
No, it's a automatic with a blower, and I didn't know it had a blower when I bought it.
Oh, okay.
I had never paid attention to that. I just loved it because it was bright red and had red wheels that were $1,000 a piece, and hey,
there you go.
That's the one.
It was a birthday present a year ago.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool.
So I've had it right out of a little over, just under a year now.
Awesome.
Beer, whiskey, or wine?
Beer.
Beer?
Walking Tree?
Yes. Oh, okay. We're actually going to have them on
next Monday.
Next Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're great. I've been with them from the day they started, and I'm one of two people that have a mug there.
Okay.
And it's...
What do you mean?
He used to bring his own mug and gets it filled up.
They keep a mug for me there.
That's awesome. That's okay.
It was a military thing, and it happened because Mike Malone, who is one of the owners there, wanted me to get the Blue Angels to come to Walkentree. And it was he's the one that said, "Do you have a mug?" And I went, "Yeah." He said, "Bring it in. We'll keep it for you."
That's awesome. So yeah. I believe last year that's how I watched the Blue Angels was at Walkentree, because it was my buddy's 40th birthday, and he's like, "I want to go to Walkentree." And I was like, "Okay." So we went and we met him there, and we had the privilege of being able to see part of the air show because it's visible right there.
Yeah, it's right there, and they're it was they're a good bunch of guys. And Mike was going to paint the roof blue. He said, "Whatever it takes." And I said,
"That's awesome.
You will never get a ride." He wanted a ride in the F-18. That's what he really wanted.
Have you rode in there?
No, okay. I'm not eligible.
What do you have to do to be eligible?
They've just loosened it up. It used to be you had to be an educator, someone that worked with kids.
Oh, that's why, because last year the superintendent that was here, he's not the superintendent now. He got to ride last year.
That's how he got the ride last
year. Dr. Rendell got to ride in the Blue Angels. Yeah. Last year, the year before.
It was 18.
Okay.
It was 18 that's initial. Right. And he had been picked for 16, but they didn't come in 16 because the accident. We were the last ones they canceled. And but he got to ride it. This year, they've opened it up to first responders. So now we've got, if you're law enforcement, anything to do in that arena, fire. So I'm guessing we're recommending a couple of guys. You have to send 4 recommendations to the admiral in Corpus Christi. And he generally picks the one that we say, this is who we really want. And then they also have a media writer, someone who will, they call it key influencer, will get to fly first.
like a podcaster. I'm picking up what you're pointing down, Marty.
Podcaster. I'm an educator and a podcaster.
Boom.
Is that like times 2?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I would ride the heck out of some Blue Angels.
Oh, my God. It would be so much fun.
Yeah. It's a blast. I didn't miss flying. I flew F-4s for 20 years. And so, it's same thing. And I didn't miss flying after I retired. Until I took over the Blues here and went.
Yeah.
I really missed that.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
That was really fun.
Yeah.
I can imagine. So, now, what do you think of these stories where like people are like, they do like an emergency landing and like you hear these stories, you're like, how accurate is that stuff?
It depends. We have to have a barrier. Fighters require a barrier, and our barrier is over at Avon Park. We don't have one here. If you lose hydraulics, utility hydraulics, you lose nose gear steering. Can't drive down the runway at a high rate of speed without nose gear steering. So that's what the barrier's for.
Okay.
It doesn't happen very often. But we lost, when I was in Germany, I was there 5 years, and we lost probably 8 to 10 airplanes.
Jeez.
Wow. Did they eject? Did the pilots eject? Yeah.
Some.
Yeah.
Not all of them. We lost. We lost probably 8 guys in the time I was there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
that's more frequent than what I would have thought. Honestly.
Yes. Yeah.
They just lost. I've had 3 air show friends that have died since we started air shows in 14.
Okay.
And
now, is there a lot of pushback for the air shows, from different government agencies and stuff? Is there a need for this type of deal?
The FAA is the one that you have to work with. And there are some FAA guys that are just wonderful. Bob Jex is a guy here, and he's just been, if it makes sense, we're going to do it.
Okay.
There are other ones that if the book says I can't, then you can't type of thing.
I gotcha.
The Blues are the best. I'm an Air Force guy, so I Thunderbirds are my guys, and I'm working them. They're going to be in Lakeland on the first weekend in April.
Okay.
And then the Blues are coming here the last weekend in April. So I work both of them.
You do the one in Lakeland too?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Blues were over there last year, and I worked with them. And so it's not a lot of stuff when they're here. All your work is done beforehand.
Beforehand, yeah, I can imagine.
And like I said, they give you a manual, and it basically says, we've been doing this now for 75 years. We know how to do this. Don't mess with it. And
that's understandable.
They're probably right.
Yeah. And we have 10 people on our air show board, and I'm the only military one. So the first year when 14 rolled around, they sent the manual. And I mean, the manual's an inch thick, and it's got, and you have to answer all these things that are in it, and you have to get all the equipment, and the rest of the board was panicking over it. And I went, this is great. This is all we have to do is what it says here.
Yeah.
We don't have to use it.
You don't have to figure things out. It's done.
You don't have to figure out anything. It all says, do this, fill in this. Are you going to have this? Yes. Are you going to have that? No. So it's a matter of just filling in the blanks. And now getting the equipment, whole new challenge. That one, that I start on about this time of the year.
What type of equipment do you need?
Everything from oxygen tanks to start carts. And it's about 8,000 pounds of equipment that we end up bringing here on trailers. It's all trailer driven. The Blues normally have a C-130. It's called Fat Albert. And that brings their equipment, their maintenance equipment, their tools, their own personal tools. However, it's been broke, so they had to ship stuff all the way from that we couldn't get. They had to ship it all the way from Pensacola. So it's an adventure. I work with Jacksonville. I work with Patrick. I work with McDill and Homestead. So each of them has a particular thing, and of course, none of them have the F-18 other than Jacksonville. So you're out there getting equipment, that lighting equipment and all sorts of stuff that they need. And you're shopping. You're just out there shopping it. Can you get me this? Yes, I can. I made 3 trips to Jacksonville last year.
Leading up to last year's show?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So how are the pilots, the Blue Angel pilots? I mean, I can't.
Are they
divas?
Yeah, or not necessarily divas, and I don't know because I've never met them, and I don't want to put anything on those guys, but I feel like if you're the best of the best, like, you got to walk around with a chip on your shoulder.
I totally would.
They do not.
Okay.
That's good.
They are the best of the best, but they're hired. All the guys are equal flyers. Uh-huh. You don't get even picked to talk to them unless you're an excellent pilot.
Yeah.
But they judge, they will bring 3 to 5 guys, depending on where they're at. Every time they show up, they have 38 events a year, and they will bring 3 to 5 guys along to interview them and see how they handle the situations. The guy that got killed, Jeff Koos, was here. I never met him. I don't even know who they are. But they're being interviewed, they're being tested, how do you handle it? So their flying skills are obvious. It's the personality of how do you react to this? How do you handle this? How do you handle? They are no longer, they used to be recruiting. That was their big thing. They're here, sign up. Now it's, we want to meet the public and work with the people that are here. They normally are tasked for a 1-hour event. And it's, we do it Saturday night, other places do it Friday night. And they can leave after an hour. They never have left in Vero Beach after an hour. They close the place down when we have it.
That's pretty cool.
It really is. It speaks
to who they are.
Oh, well, they love Vero Beach. We're one of the top 2 places that they play. And it's because we're a small town And we just go out of our way to make their life wonderful.
Yeah.
You would think that was what everybody did, but they don't.
But it's not, is it?
No, okay. No. I've talked to those guys, and they said, we have been to places where the military is the worst. Yeah, you'd think military bases could go on the way. They're the worst.
I could kind of see that. Because they're
might be a little bit so regimented.
Everybody's a mandatory volunteer.
A mandatory volunteer. Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's
a good point. Yeah. Versus here, you want to be there.
We want to be there. And we, because it's such a small town, we know everybody here. So when they say, the maintenance guy that comes in on Wednesday, they come in, number seven comes in. It's him and who's going to do the two flights. We have a media rider generally from one of the TV stations. And then we have the key influence rider. And then the backseater is the maintenance guy. And he goes around and looks at all the stuff that I've got for him. And we use we were using Piper's hangar. Piper's doing so well that they've taken over that hangar, and I can't use it anymore, but Sun Aviation has got a hangar that we're going to be operating out of. And they will bring in 60 people. They stay at Holiday Inn, and they are...
Now, is this just the Blue Angels bringing in 60 people?
Just the Blues are at Holiday Inn. Now, we will get some of them. The performers, which is the aerobatic pilots.
Yeah.
That's what we term them, the performers. They stay, this year they're going to stay at that new hotel on 60 that they just opened up.
That bridge?
Yeah.
Bridge something? It looks like a nice place.
I've been told it's absolutely awesome. Yeah,
that's right, the one right behind Murphy's USA and the Duncan right there.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I've been told it's fantastic. And so everybody's happy with where they stay in. And we pay for it to a point. You know, the military gets per diem, so they'll get $125 a day for there. So
yeah,
we basically take that, and that covers most of the Blues cost. And then the sixth ship comes in. The very first time that sixth ship came in, nobody really believed.
Now, for us non-military people, what is the sixth ship?
Six F-18s.
Okay.
In formation, line abreast.
Okay.
And when they came in the very first time, 90% of the people in Vero Beach said, "We're Vero Beach. We're not big enough to get the Blue Angels, the real Blue Angels." And when that sixth ship came across the twin bridges out there, traffic literally stopped. And people got out of their cars and they're pointing up there, and the poor city police just kind of threw up their hands and said, "We can't move. Nobody's moving.
They're just they're all like, what's going on? Why do we have?
Oh my God!" And in fact, that's one of the things that they really enjoyed. The Tom Frost was the lead pilot on it, and he said, "What's so neat is when I go up and do a loop, which is just a basic air turning in a circle." He said, "I look down. There is not a car moving in Vero Beach."
Yeah.
Everybody's out of their cars and they're pointing up there. And Thursday is their big day here. The show itself is really cool, but Thursday is the practice day.
Yeah.
So Thursday they will come in and the four ship goes up and they look for various points to make their turns off of. And as Tom said, it's not Walmart. It's the southeast corner of Walmart that we turn on.
Okay.
That's how precise they are. And I said, "What kind of a computer system do you use?" And he said, "It's my head is the computer system."
Yeah.
My brain has everything in it of when do we turn, what do we do, and the same thing with the solos. The four ship goes up, they spend an hour. They come in, land, and debrief. The two ship, the solos, go up and do all their maneuvers of what they're looking for. And then they come back and land and debrief, and then the whole sixth ship goes up and does a practice.
Is the sixth ship, like the people that go up in the two ship, are they the same part of the six? They just go separate to do different things? Okay, gotcha.
There's two solos, and they do opposing runs and all that sort of stuff, and you just kind of go, wow. And if you see a four ship going up, 18 inches That's how close they are.
Really?
To each other. 18 inches.
Jeez.
That is unreal.
That is unreal. So to ask a question, because you said it's all up here, right? It's all in their head as far as like southeast corner. They're not really using. Now, I had a conversation with a gentleman who claimed to have been a pilot. Mm-hmm. All right. And what he mentioned to me
sounds
and
you don't have a lot of faith in that.
I don't. By the way, this is why we have good people on that can school us and make sure that
we know
we can call BS if we need to call BS, right?
Yeah.
So what he mentioned to me, he said that he was taking courses in Alaska on piloting.
Right.
And he was driving, you know, flying like a Cessna. Sorry,
this is not the same dude that was in Alaska.
Different guy.
Okay.
Different guy. Yeah. Jimmy,
yeah, you're good,
not
Jimmy.
You. Not Jimmy. All right, Jimmy's a good dude. Yeah. I don't want to get him mixed up in another last.
No, Jimmy would not lie to me. Okay, at least not about that. Anyways, all right. So what he mentioned to me is that he said that with orientation, if you're flying, if you're not paying attention to your instruments, you could very well be flying upside down and not really know that you're flying upside down.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
That seems so weird to me.
Yeah.
So for this gentleman to be like, yeah, I got this in my head, like that's just like a different level.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's what happens is that you can get vertigo. That happens. If you get into weather, that's when it really happens because you have no visual sighting. If you're just driving a long day, VFR, visual flight rules, you're not going to do that. But if you get in weather, your head does not tell you accuracy. That's what your instruments are for. And your head, you can be upside down and not know it. And that's when the accidents happen. And
that's kind of what they were talking about for the Kobe Bryant thing.
Yeah.
That VFR was...
He went into weather. If he could have seen the mountain, he'd have seen it. I mean, he was flying in, what, 1,400 feet?
Yeah.
And the mountain was 2,000.
That's interesting.
Well... Yeah. You know, you lose track of
you're
trying to see stuff and you can't see it.
Yeah, because he said that his instructor tested him. He was like, "Are we upside down or not?" I said, "Don't look at your instrument because you claimed that you could do it." And he's like, "Sure as heck, we were upside down."
Yep.
He was like, "I had no idea though."
Yeah.
Which is weird though, because like you figure you're flying, gravity's got to be, you know, wanting to pull you down into your seatbelt. So you would figure that you would still feel, but your brain does not register.
Your brain
I guess it depends on your flying. I mean, like, because if you're on a roller coaster and you're looping, if you're not paying attention, you can't feel where it's hitting your body because you're going quicker or something like that. It depends on like his.
You don't spend much time, you know, upside down.
Okay.
We flew upside down a lot, but you don't spend much time, particularly in a small airplane, because they're not configured to do that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, they will choke themselves out with fuel.
Okay.
So
that's not a good situation.
No. Although I did see at the air show a couple years ago,
those guys
are awesome. That was one of the best tricks I've ever seen. Like live is the guy went straight up in a little plane and went straight up till it stalled out.
Yep.
And then it started spiraling down and then he turned it on last minute and flew away. I was like, it blew me away. Yeah. That blew me away.
For 2 years here, two sessions here, we had the number one aerobatic pilot in the world here.
Okay.
Number one. He had trophies everywhere. And one of the nicest people you will ever meet. I mean, he's a big, tall guy. And he's just absolutely, he's one of those, you know, you just kind of go, how does he do it? I wouldn't do it. A military military pilot would never... get an airplane like that and do something like that.
It's got to be
there's a
mindset.
Protocol for this. We don't do it. That's the protocol.
These guys are nuts.
Yeah. Right. Because, I mean, typically, what do they say? If your engine stalls out and if you're a pilot, right, you have to read the manual and see what your protocol is versus this guy is just, let's just wing it. Let's see what this
Well, see what happens. You know, they've lost, you know, the air show at Stewart.
That wasn't.
They lost a guy at that one. We just lost one, that was going to perform here, and he got killed a week ago.
Wow.
And it's a dangerous business.
Yeah, it is.
Sounds like it.
And he was not doing anything dangerous. It, we don't know what happened for sure, but his he had back kid in the back seat with him, and he was flying a P-51 and went in both. He was a Southwest pilot as well, and you never know.
Yeah. So I'm going to sidetrack just 1 second. What are your thoughts on? And I'm not going to call anybody that is on this podcast, but there's somebody that believes that they can learn how to fly off of YouTube.
That they can do what?
That they can learn how to fly off of YouTube.
If you watch enough videos.
Once. I'd say they could do that once.
Yeah?
Okay.
Once. Because you're going down and you
get that. That's a confirmation.
I go with.
Hey, that's a confirmation.
If I'm a doing a scientific investigation, Marty, you need more than one trial to make it actually.
All right, by the way, Marty. In case the listeners don't know, it's Corey.
I think they figured that out.
Okay.
No.
This is my thing, mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay.
I want a tail dragger, okay? And I need a little bit more property than what I got here, okay? Uh-huh. Maybe 30 acres, okay? My plan is
just a little more.
I watch enough videos, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I just pull up on that stick a little bit and just start like up and down. That's my plan in my head.
It's like a Wright brother over here.
Do you think I got a chance?
No.
Well, I sell life insurance.
Marty, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I'm not going to say that I wouldn't try it, okay? I can't.
Well, you got to realize with the tail dragger, the first thing that comes off the ground is the tail.
Yeah, I've heard that it's not a very good plane to try and learn on, or anything like that.
It's a horrible plane to try to learn on.
But in my head, it is a bi-wing tail dragger because growing up from a little kid, I could just get in that and fly it.
So in your head, you're right, but in your head, you're wrong that you're going to succeed.
Yeah, I think you should start flying drones first.
Listen, anything's possible. Okay, anything's possible.
All right.
What we got from this is Marty confirmed
one time
I could do it one time.
One time.
Okay. Hey.
And then Sarah will be set for life.
Yeah. He's got to meet with your wife first to sell the insurance, and then you're allowed to try it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I totally understand. All right, Marty. Sorry. I didn't mean to divert the conversation.
You knew it was going
to
go that way for a moment.
Listen. Yeah. I'm glad we got confirmation.
I'm with you. Okay. I'm with you, buddy.
I don't know if
to
we're
our listeners,
it the same
I'm not
way.
Sure if that's confirmation, but we'll let that ride from here.
Well, yeah, we'll let you decide.
Yeah.
My standard joke is, how hard is it to be a pilot? You pull the stick back, and the buildings get small. Push stick forward, buildings get big.
See,
it's not the when things are going well. It's when you have the oh crap, what happened? My engine just quit.
Read the manual.
Yeah,
I'm jumping.
You don't have time, and you don't have a chute.
No, yeah, you don't. Yeah, that's.
And I agree with that too because I, and again, my plan is a little different. I'm not gonna get the buildings real small at first. Okay. Yeah. I'm just going up
just the
tree
bushes.
Level and then back
and down. Then crash into the trees.
Just calm down.
Okay.
But I take my son over to the airport. Those airplanes come in all the time.
Right.
You know, just like on a regular day.
Yep.
Because I'm off during the day. So we go over there and we eat lunch and watch the airplanes come in. I see all these little Piper Cubs and stuff. And the wind comes and they're like side to side. And I'm like,
yeah.
Looks a little hairy to me.
Oh, like, yeah.
That, yeah, I mean,
I used to work at it.
Those planes coming in, I feel like on a routine basis. And I know several pilots that own their own, you know, small planes and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't know if I get in it on a regular basis.
When, like I said, when it was calm weather and things went, the last flight that I had, I was dating a girl from Paris Air, and we were up. She said, you haven't flown since you retired. And I went, nope, haven't. She said, I'll take you up. So we went up and she's doing we're up around Titusville and she's doing all of her pilot thing. You know, you're looking out for other aircraft and all that. And I'm sitting over there and my head and my chin and my hands. And she said, you don't seem very excited to be flying again. I said, darling, you're really cute. You're going to do a great job with the airline someday. However, you see that truck down there? It's going faster than we are. if you want excitement when you're flying, try and be at 75 feet, 600 miles an hour, your head's buried in the radar scope, and you hope the guy in the front seat doesn't hiccup and kill you. Yeah. So now that is exciting. The adrenaline's really pumping.
So this is not so much.
Darling, you're really cute.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I know, so the it's really cool to hear the behind the scenes part of the bringing the Blue Angels in and putting together Air Show. For our listeners that have know about it, but maybe not always when it is, I'm not sure if you mentioned when is the Air Show taking place.
In Vero.
Here in Vero, yes. Sorry.
It's actually Saturday and Sunday, both days. The Blues always close the show. It starts at noon with a bunch of guys. In this case, it's the Navy jump team. Jumps out a perfectly good airplane with the flag, and that starts off the air show at noon. And then they have performers, and we this year we have the F-16 demo team, the Viper team. That is an absolutely awesome show because they can do things that you can't do in formation. I mean, they can. The F-16 will pull 10 Gs so fast it'll make your head swim. And every F-16 squadron, we lost a bunch of them right at the beginning because it's a little handheld thing here and you twist your wrist as opposed to the stick in the middle, which is what you're used to. And if you pull it too much back, it'll snap 10 Gs and it'll pass you out.
Oh.
And that was what was happening. We used to call them lawn darts. They'd plant one over here and they'd plant one over there. And
gosh.
And so now every F-16 squadron has a gym, a full-size weight room in there, and that's what they exercise with, even though they wear G-suits. There's a big misconception that between the Thunderbirds and the Blue Angels, because the Blue Angels don't wear G-suits. The F-4 guy or the F-16 guys wear G-suits, and it's because of where the stick's located.
Interesting.
The G-suit has a bladder right on your thigh, and if you're sitting there, there's a 40-pound weight on the stick in the F-18 designed so if you lose, the plane's going to go down. So the problem is when you pull G's, this inflates. Now you're trying to control something that's inflating, deflating, inflating, deflating, and you're 18 inches away from the other airplane. That's why they don't wear G-suits. So it's not because they're more macho or any of that sort of stuff. It's strictly, where is the stick?
Yeah.
So for the layman like me, like F-16, F-4, which one's faster? Which one's faster, or are they both about the same?
The F-16. The F-4 was built originally for the Navy, and it was for fleet defense. Navy found out the thing was so big that you couldn't really launch them off a carrier that well. And it was also kind of a maintenance nightmare. So they convinced the Air Force that you're going to love the F-4. And it also came out of Lyndon Johnson's Texas factories.
Okay.
And so that's how we got the F-4. And we took the gear off and put in Air Force gear because we don't land on carriers. And if you fly a lot, you can always tell a Navy pilot he's going to slam that thing on the end of the runway.
Okay. Because he's used to getting it done.
Because he's used to getting
that
it
short
done
at
dissipating airspeed.
Yeah, he's got to catch that rope.
That makes sense because I fly a lot.
And I always ask him when I get on there if there happened to be around. I said, Air Force or Navy? I want to know how we're going to land.
That's awesome. I can appreciate that.
Yeah,
that
is funny. So,
that's pretty spectacular.
So there's just a lot of things that go into the air show that you don't see. We have a gala coming up February 29th. It's for the Veterans Council. It's our big fundraiser. It's a formal event. We get to dress up. The ladies get to all dress up.
Now, can anybody go to that?
Yeah, for $150, you can go.
Right. Okay.
Feel free. Just look it up on Veterans Council, on the website, Veterans Council of Indian River County, and the ad's on there.
Where do you guys have that at?
Pardon?
Where is it at?
Grand Harbor.
At Grand Harbor?
Yeah. Okay. We had it there last year. This is only the second one we've ever done. The first one we did, we had a guest speaker, Sylvester McIntosh. Sylvester is from Gifford, went into the Marine Corps as a young 18-year-old upset black kid, and they shipped him to Vietnam, and he jumped on a grenade that didn't go off. He jumped on another grenade, and it didn't go off. And he jumped on the third one, and it didn't go off. God had a plan for this guy. He's out with his troops, and they get ambushed. And he takes a bullet in the chest. Another 2 inches the other way, and it takes his heart out. Takes a bullet in the chest and still goes up to recover 3 other guys and pulls them back to safety.
Wow.
And this is all while he's 19 years old and never got anything for it. No one ever wrote a citation or anything until he got I belong to the American Legion in Gifford. And we started hearing his story and went, that's crazy. You know? And so we found his commander from those days in Vietnam. This was about 3 years ago. And got him to write up the events and everything, and they awarded him the Silver Star, which is the second highest medal you can get for bravery. And we've still got him in for the Medal of Honor. And if they will, still possible to happen. So Sylvester came in, and he's been a preacher out in Gifford and changed a lot of lives. And so we had him for our first guest speaker. This one, we're going to have Rick Kaiser. And Rick Kaiser is the guy who runs the SEAL Museum down there. He was on SEAL Team 6. If you remember the movie Black Hawk Down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rick got Silver Star out of that. Most people think it was strictly an Army thing. The SEALs were there as well. And so he ended up with the Silver Star out of that event. And then the movie, I think it was Dr. Phillips, Captain Phillips, whatever it was, when the Somalis took over that.
Yeah.
If you remember the ending of it is when the bad guys were out in the lifeboat, staying there, mm-hmm. they stuck their heads out.
Yeah.
And they went bam.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're all dead.
At one time. One bang.
One bang.
Yeah.
And Rick was one of the snipers on that one. They parachuted in at night.
Which, you know, just from watching the movie, and I had read some stories and accounts of that, that to me, like, being, you know, I wouldn't say I'm an avid shooter, but I like to shoot, you know. Yeah. The idea of being on a boat that's moving, shooting at a boat that's moving with precision with it. I mean, when you're trying to hit the cranial vault, you know, like, that, you know, because you want them to be dead right now, not in a half a second from now. It just blows my mind thinking about it right now blows my mind.
I actually watched just recently, I sent you the video. There's a video of Jocko Willink, who you have the book right there.
Yeah.
He did a GQ video of Navy, like he did like a review of the movies, right, how accurate they were, etc. And he talked about Captain Phillips. So it's crazy that he's actually talking about Rick Kaiser, you know, or possibly, right? So he's talking about him, and he was talking about how accurate of a shot that had to have been. I literally just watched it like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
But it was a really interesting story and scenario. And he's talking about, like, people think that if you're in the Navy SEALs that everybody's an excellent shot. He's like, that is not the case. You have to go to a special school to become a sniper.
Yeah. That's what Rick's comment about that was, that he said, I wasn't any good at any of the other stuff. But I could shoot pretty good.
That's awesome.
And that's what he ended up doing.
That's a little modest, I think.
I think to get the SEALs.
I'm sure he was good at a lot of other things. Yeah.
The lifeboat that they were on is at the SEAL Museum.
It's
the same one. It's got the same bullet holes in it and everything. And you just kind of go, wow. So Rick's going to be our speaker at the gala.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah,
that sounds like a good time.
And we have, you always have silent auction items and everything. So I created one for the Blue Angels, and it's called A Day with the Blue Angels. See how they really operate, the behind the scenes thing. So this couple, whoever's going to win it or buy it, I'm going to take them to where all the maintenance guys are working. Because that in itself is what makes it. The F-18s are flying now are the oldest airplanes in the Navy.
Really?
By far. Yeah. Next year they're going to get the Super Hornet. This year is the last year that they're going to be flying that airplane.
So is the Super Hornet, is that the newest airplane then?
Yeah.
So they're going to go from the oldest to the newest.
Yeah. And they've been working at that for a year and a half now.
Yeah.
Of the guys who was the boss 2 years ago. And Ryan Bernacki. And he's the guy that's doing all of the training of here's what to say. It's a totally different airplane.
It's
bigger. It's got different engines. It flies differently.
So will that be the fastest airplane in the fleet then, in the military?
They will be up there with the just like the rest of the fleet is.
Yeah.
So because all of these guys came from the fleet, and the fleet all had Super Hornets, so they regressed.
Okay, so they kind of went backwards in technology.
Yeah. it's a 2 year tour for them. The enlisted guys, it's a 3 year tour. So there's going to be a number of them that have been here in 18.
Okay.
And they absolutely love it.
You said the enlisted guys is a 3 year tour?
Yeah.
Okay, so they don't all have to be enlisted?
No. There's 10 officers and about 60 enlisted.
Okay.
And they don't bring the whole troop. Actually, there's probably close to 100 enlisted.
Okay.
And they'll split. Because, they're gone every weekend.
Yeah.
They have, after they had the accident, they've cut back a little bit. And now they'll do 8 shows, and then they have a mandatory weekend off.
Okay.
And it's a stressful job.
Yeah.
Because you're gone all the time.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Constantly to a new spot.
Yeah. You just beat yourself coming and going. And it's always the same and tough job, but they're very good at it. The only guy is when he comes in number 7, they had a winter visit here in December.
Okay.
They had the one airplane came in. And
I saw them fly in or saw them fly out.
7 and 8 come in and they make sure that you know what you're doing.
Okay.
And they came in here and they said, we really don't have to come here because we know you know what you're doing. When I go to an event in Vegas, it's called the International Council of Air Shows. There's 1,500 people that show up trying to sell themselves to the air shows, and it covers insurance and all that sort of stuff. But the Blues are there, and they have what's called a Blues a Navy Forum, and that Navy Forum is designed for everybody that's having an air show in 2020. You're in there, and they will tell you what they want. Here's what we would like to have happen, and we get mentioned all the time about it because our Saturday night event, we created the food truck event out at Riverside Park.
Okay.
With 35 food trucks, a band. And the Blues.
So that is you guys that do it at Riverside Park. Because my parents have a food truck, and they were looking into it, and they asked me about that, and they said, I don't understand if it's the same as the air show, if the air show puts that on, or if it's something different.
Put on by the air show.
Okay.
What happened was that when in the 14, I worked with a guy named Ryan Chamberlain. He was number 6 at the time, 7. And he wrote an article called Read the Freaking Manual. And what he said in the thing was, we go to 38 places every year. If you're going to do the same old tired thing with the politicians on Friday night, and there's some politicians, and there's this, he said, we're not coming anymore. You got to come up with something different. So we came up with, David Walker, in fact, came up with the idea and said, why don't we do food trucks and band and all that? And the Blues loved it. They went, this is so cool. So nice. Now when we go out there, at the, I was out there in December, and they said, when it comes to the community involvement, here's what we'd like to see. We'd like to see a bunch of food trucks. We'd like to see a band. And we'd like you to do it at a park. And if you don't know how to do that, the guy from Vero Beach is sitting right there. Wave your hand and go see him.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
They don't talk about anybody else.
Marty, you made a new norm. That's the new norm for them. That's nice.
No, yeah. you've raised the standard. Yep. And so, Riverside's a beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great location.
And this year, it's going to be at Riverside, but it's not under the Oaks because the little old ladies from the Orchid Society have reserved that every year, same time. So we're going to have it over by the carousels over there.
Oh, in the open area?
In the open area.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which makes it better, actually.
I agree.
Yeah.
Particularly for security.
Yeah.
You know, because right now security is such a concern for everywhere. Yeah. So, yeah, it's and they just keep going.
That's awesome.
And it's not just out there. It's everywhere they go.
They talk about Vero Beach.
And the other thing was, you know, in 18, they left two airplanes here. They had a bird strike airplane, and they had one where the nose gear fell out.
They leave the keys? Huh? They leave the keys, or
yeah.
Can we take it up once?
You weren't going anywhere in that.
Okay,
you
know? All right.
Can we try and take it up once?
Yeah. I'll start watching my YouTube videos right now, Marty. I mean,
I do have the one with the bird strike.
Okay,
and it was two solos, and they were coming to opposing solos. And you see this bird flying along, and all of a sudden it goes, what? Boom! And you see the engine explode. Thank God, it's a two-engine airplane.
Yeah.
And you see that it exploded, and I'm watching this guy, and the guy turns out, and I went, uh-oh, this is not good. And nobody really knew what happened, because he came in, landed, took the spare airplane, off he went again, and everyone's going, cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Blue Angels, obviously they fly in. Does everybody fly in because what makes me ask that is that not everybody has a big plane, right? So some of them are smaller planes and they just fly everywhere.
Yeah.
They have a cool car, right?
Yeah.
It's I'm just getting.
Now there's some of the acts, of course, have a trailer. You know, we have a jet engine
yep.
guy.
Yep, I've seen that.
Runs at 350 miles an hour down the runway.
Yeah.
Is it a car then, like a jet car?
Yeah.
It's a jet truck.
Oh, okay,
jet truck. He's got jet engines on.
Well, there's a jet racing team right in Palm Bay.
FIT.
They just lost that little girl, actually. A little girl. She was a lady last year, actually.
But FIT there's a people? Big,
the FIT, no,
I think he races. They race a plane, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Well, Marty, you're a wealth of knowledge, that's for sure. We like this. I love it. April 25th and 26th is the air show.
That's the air show.
February 29th, the gala.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we've got one with Walking Tree. Walking Tree supports veterans hugely. We have a prom, and it's the third prom, and the concept is Back to the Future. So
okay.
They're... you can dress up. And
when is that?
And who does that benefit?
That's March 14th.
March 14th.
And who does that benefit?
That's all the Veterans Council.
The Veterans Council.
What they're doing this time that they haven't done before is they've got 10 guys and 10 girls competing one another, and the person that raises the most money is the prom king, prom queen. So the very first one they had was, it was the 1980s prom. And... I won.
Yeah.
I went as Tom Cruise with Top Gun.
There you go.
You got to. Yeah.
Felt the need for speed. I get that.
Now who is your goose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. I had Danger Zone, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. What I did want to say is we thank you for your service.
Oh,
yes, absolutely.
I think that's fantastic. And
go ahead. The fact that your passion keeps you going to share the love of flight is pretty cool. So. We like to end the show with a
a question that you can kind of leave for our listeners, and it's based on your experiences. What is one of the most important pieces of advice you could give to our listeners?
When you retire, do not go to the couch and watch The View. Get out, get involved. And there are so many opportunities in Vero Beach to volunteer. There's 800 charities in Vero Beach.
Oh, wow.
And there are people begging you to come and be on their board of directors. And it is so much fun. If your head goes, everything else goes with it. Keep your head engaged. Keep working. Keep busy. I talk to guys all the time, and they go, what are you doing? They went, nothing. I went, you can only play golf so much.
Yeah.
I did that when I retired. I went, hey, got my handicap down and was bored to tears, and got involved with the Veterans Council and other things like that, volunteering.
That's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I get that for
that's
sure.
That's great advice.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in
if
that.
If I get to retirement age, that is definitely my plan.
Yeah.
To keep hustling, keep doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. Larry and I say all the time that we're going to work for the rest of our lives.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with
that. Mainly because we keep putting ourselves in debt.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Corvette isn't free.
Yeah.
This is true. Yeah, no, this is awesome.
But if I get lucky enough to retirement, yeah. And even now, though, I don't even feel like you need to be retired, though, because there's so much good that you can do in your community. And, I mean, you're proof of that right here sitting in front of us. And we do thank you for not only your military service, but the service you do for our community, for sure.
It's been great. You know, we do so much. We have, when I started, we had two buses that carried veterans down to West Palm, and we did the Veterans Day and Memorial Day. That's all we did.
Uh-huh.
And we had a budget of maybe 85,000. Uh-huh. Now we have a budget of 450,000. We have programs that to help veterans that need help. We have PTSD programs. So
that's awesome.
Get yourself involved.
That's fantastic.
You know, and it was all my wife's thing. You know, she said, I'm tired of you sitting around whining. If you don't like what you see, get involved and change it. And that was 2008. Okay. And I've been involved in the Veterans Council on the board of directors ever since.
That's absolutely special.
That's awesome. Definitely. Yeah, yep. It's awesome. Marty, we're going to do this again.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like I could talk to you for another 5 hours.
Well, I haven't even touched the Veterans Council.
There you go.
Yeah, we're going to do this again. Absolutely, for sure.
Yep. Thank you, Marty.
All right, guys, as always, you got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at fullgorillalife@gmail.com.
Make sure you want to follow us on social. Check us out at Facebook and Instagram at fullgorillalife and Twitter at gorillafull.
With two L's. Yeah, I just throw it out there.
It's fine.
And also, please feel free to visit our website, fullgorilla.life, and please follow us on your podcast app of choice. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Later.
Take care.